Okay. Now, if you have your Bibles, open them up to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. O Lord Jesus, thank you for this evening. Thank you for my friends to celebrate this Good Friday service with you. Thank you, Lord, for your love that you share between all of us as brothers and sisters in Christ. And I pray as we take these next few minutes to look into your word, to observe the crucifixion and death of Jesus, that it will stir all of our hearts to be more joyful, thanking you and never losing our love for you. In Jesus' name, amen. So for Christ also suffered once for sins. Peter makes it plain to us. I don't know how he could do it any more plainly than this, that Christ suffered once for sins. We'll hear from various places at different times of people who believe and think that Jesus has to re-suffer every week or every month or every year for us to be forgiven of our sins. But that's just not true. The reality is, he paid the price one time for all those who put their faith in Christ of all time and eternity. And that's the plain truth of it. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir on this subject. All of you know that he suffered once for sins. But have you contemplated that recently? Have you thought about how Christ suffered once for our sins and for your sins? I know I, for myself, have not done it enough, not contemplated this enough. Too often I get to the idea or the thought that he suffered once for my sins and just glibly move on to the next idea or the next thought. But he did. And he suffered at great expense. In fact, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Luke chapter 23. For brevity's sake, I'll start with verse 39 of Luke chapter 23 and read through verse 49. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we have received the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." And the thief said to Jesus, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Christ responded to the thief, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two, then Jesus called out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. Now, when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, "Certainly this man was innocent." And all the crowds that had assembled for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home, beating their breast. And all his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance, watching these things. That was really all his disciples and the followers could do, was to watch what was happening. They could not intervene to stop it. And praise God they didn't. reminded of this joke told by a Christian comedian that he and his brother and mother went to a movie to see the Passion of Christ, and they had the scene of the crucifixion. And this young boy, in his love for Jesus and his desire to see him not go through all this, yelled out, "No!" And then his brother spoke up, "Mark, be quiet or we'll all go to hell." But there's some truth into his brother's comment there. If these disciples had been able to intervene and stop the crucifixion, as if such a thing could occur, then there wouldn't be the forgiveness of sins. The suffering once would not have been just once. Something else would have had to happen. But praise God, hallelujah, he suffered and died and came to our place, to take our place, so that we could be reconciled to our Heavenly Father and have the joy of walking with him and knowing him in an intimate relationship. Jesus suffered for us, and it's a beautiful thing. Now back to 1 Peter. For Christ suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous. Just as the thief said he had done nothing wrong. And as a matter of fact, by the time the darkness had settled over the crucifixion site, by the time the lightning and thunder had finished its roars, everyone who was there were now commenting and saying together that this man was innocent and had done nothing wrong. Which is fascinating because he was condemned to die by the Romans and the Jews, and now that he's dead, it is the Romans and the Jews who are saying he was an innocent man and had done nothing wrong. Now, at first it may seem like that's a little knowledge a little too late. However, it just reemphasizes that Jesus Christ was an innocent man with no wrong having been done by him, either in deed or in word spoken. He was completely free, the righteous for the unrighteous. And that he may bring us to God. What a beautiful sound. That phrase just rings with beauty to me. That he might bring us to God. Hallelujah. I grew up in church. I knew the Bible a lot when I was 10 years old. But if it hadn't been for the Spirit's working within me to see my need for Christ, I would have never come to God on my own. And none of us do. None of us can come to God on our own. It takes working of the Spirit, and it takes the work that Jesus did on the cross to make it possible for us to come to God, that he might bring us to God. Being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit. It was his body that was crucified, and it was his body that was beaten and torn, and it was his body that was laid low in the grave on that Friday night. But he was not completely dead. He was physically completely dead, but he was not dead eternally or spiritually, because he was still very much alive in his Spirit and in his role as the second person of the Trinity. Now, we can know that this is true because we ourselves have spirits, and that our spirit doesn't die when we physically die. But Jesus physically died. His heart stopped beating, and to be sure his heart stopped beating, the Roman centurion sticked a spear in his side and punctured the sac around his heart, and punctured his heart as well. So he died physically so that we could be brought to God, being put to death in his flesh, but made alive in the spirit. Here we get our first glimmer of hope from Peter about this. Being made alive in the spirit talks about his resurrection that we will celebrate on Sunday morning. And what a beautiful resurrection we will celebrate. But that's for Sunday morning. For tonight, it's to remember that he died once and has shed his blood for us so that we might be forgiven and be able to come to God. What a beautiful Savior. What a glorious Jesus. It's Friday and Jesus' body is in the tomb, but Sunday's coming. Amen.